Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
I'm so old.
So old.
We're so old.
You're old.
You're old.
Welcome to the very first Senior Moments podcast. What does that mean to you, John?
You know.
Yeah. Senior writer John Osier, Brian Sexton, senior correspondent here at Jaguars.com.
I guess in 10 years I'll be very senior.
Do you get to that?
Yeah.
That's the goal.
I probably won't.
That's the goal.
My code still works for now.
So, yeah. Every day.
That's right.
So that's the deal. We're here today. We'll be here throughout the offseason. And then during the season, we'll keep this thing going. What it'll be, we don't know. We're old, so we don't necessarily think about what it's going to be. We think about today, not tomorrow. Does that make sense?
Sure. Why not?
All right. So topic of the week. The rookies are coming in,
yeah.
Which means Leonard Fournette's going to be here. And it brings about the idea that something dramatic is going to change here with the personality of the Jaguars on offense. So I want to tell you, because I, you know me in the running game, I like it. I really believe that when you look at the numbers, the Jaguars have to do something about Blake Bortles' pass attempts. I went back and looked. 625 pass attempts last year.
Yeah, that's probably like 150 more than they would have ideally had. So, about 10 more a game than they would have wanted, I would guess.
So Marcus Mariota, who was very efficient, passer rating at what, 95, 96 in that range, had one of the league's best rushing offenses. He only threw the ball 425 times.
Which gets you down to, if the Jaguars cut by 150,
yeah, that's right where you want to be.
Yeah, so.
That's right where you want to be. The question is, does Blake Bortles get more efficient by default, or does he have to have done something different to his game? Is he made out to be a play-action quarterback?
Well, that's where he's been the strongest when he's been strong. He's been good at it. When he was completing the 50-50 balls to A-Rob, which really defined his 2015 season, I thought that's what he was good at. The intriguing thing about him is the Jaguars certainly believe that's what he's good at. He's never really had a chance to be that guy because even in 2015, they've never had a running game under Blake. Certainly not one outside of a few games last year once Nathaniel Hackett took over. There were times where they ran the ball sort of close to what you thought they wanted to do, but they never really established it from game to game. You never, in Blake's career, they've never had a running game where you could envision opposing coordinators sitting there on Monday putting together the game plan going, whoa, boy, we better stop the run.
Well, when you look at the numbers.
And that's what they might have this year.
Well, and when you look at the numbers, 625 pass attempts. I went back and looked. In 99, when the Jaguars had a tremendous rushing attack with Fred Taylor and James Stewart, they had a 29-year-old quarterback in Mark Brunell who threw the ball 441 times.
Who had probably been to two Pro Bowls at that point,
absolutely.
Maybe three?
Absolutely. And in 2007, they had David Garrard, and we know what David was. He was a terrific athlete with a rocket for an arm, but he wasn't a pocket passer. But that year, he's 29, and he threw the ball 325 times.
That's incredibly low.
He had Fred Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew, who were combining for 150 yards a game. They were playing ball control.
Mm-hmm.
They were letting that defense rest and making them fresh. They didn't have a dominant pass rusher, right, at that point in time. They were big up front. But the reality of it is so you had David Garrard, who was playing as efficient as possible, throwing it 325 times. You had Mark Brunell, who had Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell, right? And he only threw it 441 times. It's ridiculous that you would ask Blake Bortles to throw it 625 times.
Well, I don't know that they really wanted to ask that. I think they were forced to ask that. And, you know, there's been people wondering why they threw the ball so much. Well, I don't think they entered the season last year wanting to do that.
That's why they signed Chris Ivory.
It became something where the running game wasn't effective early, and you had to have Blake do that. So, and then once Nathaniel Hackett came in as the offensive coordinator, they were able, I think four times they established it where they got, I want to say it was over 150, maybe even over 140, but they showed glimpses of what they wanted to be. And certainly this team thinks that the last two games of last season, when they were, from a cumulative effect, able to run a little better, they'd established something. Blake got more efficient within that. That's sort of their theory going forward, is if we can get back to running, we ran more efficiently and Blake can throw more efficiently within that. That clearly, I think, Brian, that can be a building block. I don't think ideally in this day and age, I get your passion for the running game. I like it too. I don't think – I think it's very difficult to long-term, 5-6 years win just running the ball without having confidence in your quarterback take over a game. But right now, I think you're trying to build to a point where you get a little better now at it, you establish what you are, and then maybe let Blake develop behind that as he goes along.
And that's where I was headed with this. Brunell, as you mentioned, by 1999 was accomplished. He'd led the league in passing yards, had been to the playoffs a couple of times, was 29 years old. He didn't have to carry the whole load on his shoulders. How in the world does anyone expect Blake Bortles,
right,
who was not a refined quarterback coming in, to be able to lift this team on his shoulders? I mean, he's not Peyton Manning, right? He's not Tom Brady. No one expected that he would be.
And he's not – what I don't think he'll ever be is efficiency guy. Meaning, I don't think he's going to be that guy who completes 70% of his passes, is a pepper, pepper, pop, pop, quick pass – tempo guy. I think he would be best as a play-action quarterback. That's what they're trying to make him be.
Well, so here's the scenario from week three last year that I just can't... It was why I went to the Leonard Fournette card as early as I did back in late January, early February. Because if you remember the Ravens game here,
yep,
the Jaguars trailed 16-14 early in the fourth quarter. With about 9 minutes left to play, Jalen Ramsey tipped the ball that Deshaun Gibson got and took it back the other way and set up a field goal. On that drive, they ran one time for a loss of 1 yard.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first of three drives in the fourth quarter, two of which the Jags had after they had a 17-16 lead.
All they had to do was kick field goals and they win the game.
Three drives.
Didn't.
Four rushes, 1 yard.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's with Chris Ivory, the big back.
Right.
Now remember, Chris was coming back. He had that unfortunate injury that kept him out of the first 2 weeks, and I get all of that.
But that scenario you just said, that's why Fournette's here, that's right, why a fullback's here, and that's why they want the mentality and the identity to have changed, and that's what they're trying to do.
Well, now, so if you and I go back, and we both do, to 1995 when this team debuted, they debuted in the old black and blue division, the AFC Central, and that was what it was. With the Steelers, the Oilers were still at that point a running team, though they had drafted Steve McNair. Mm-hmm. The Bengals were the team that wanted to throw the ball all over the place. Even the Browns, Bill Belichick was the coach. They were not a throwing team. They wanted to come and run. It's interesting that in this division, where you've got a couple of quarterbacks, right? Now you've got the exotic smash mouth that Mike Mularkey has taken to Tennessee with that running game, and they got about 135 rushing yards a game last year. And now you're trying to recreate the old black and blue division, it would seem, by doing the same thing in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think a better comparison, I don't know if you can go back 20 years in this league anymore. The game has changed dramatically if you watch tape from back then. But I think the example and the reason that what the Jaguars are doing gives you some hope is what the Titans were able to do with it last year. Again, I hesitate to say that this is a way that you can build a long-term every year in the playoffs type of thing. It feels to me like quarterback still has to be your focal point if you're going to do that because so much builds around it. But for a 2 or 3 year period, you do wonder if you can win this way, go back to what San Francisco did when Frank Gore was really running, Jim Harbaugh was the coach. You're sort of going against the grain. It's not what teams usually do. Tennessee certainly had success with it, I think, because it enables you to stay in games. It enables you with some discipline to be able to stay in games and win by being smart. Not something this team's been able to do in the past. So it is a dramatic change in philosophy. I think given the personnel and given what was available in free agency in the draft, this was the quickest route away from the double-digit loss abyss that they've had for the last 6 or 7 years. If they can get out of that and enable Blake Bortles to get better behind it, then I think it can be a way back to respectability, which is the first thing his team needs to do.
Right. So the question is now,
can it work?
Can it work? And you're putting a lot on a rookie running back. I mean, remember, Fred Taylor couldn't carry the load the first couple of weeks. He didn't have to until James Stewart got hurt in week three here against the Ravens.
But rookie backs are supposed to be stars, Brian. If they're in the top five, you're supposed to be able to do it from the start. That's the reality in this day and age.
Well, and I fully expect that he will be the guy. But you've got Chris Ivory here. And he couldn't stay healthy last year. You remember that game in Buffalo? I was on the sidelines. I remember watching Ivory just gash the Bills. They were pushing the ball up and down the field, and then all of a sudden he came up lame with a hamstring. And then that was done. Right. Game was over at that point. They couldn't control the line of scrimmage from that point forward. So you've got to be able to have more than one big back. I get it that he's a $6 million cap hit for you. But this team, yeah, why not?
Yeah, cap space. Keep that.
Keep Fournette fresh.
Can it work?
Keep Ivory fresh.
And I believe it can. And I believe that Fournette needs to be an 85, 90-yard-a-game guy. I think he's in order for this to work, I would say he needs 5-6 games where he's 140 yards, where he's a SportsCenter highlight, where he's busted one late to clinch it. He's got to be that guy. I just don't think he is that guy. And the thing that gives you hope to me is the fact that in the last 9 games under Hackett last year, I keep going back to that, they had 4 games where they did that. They had the Buffalo game, Kansas City, they had the last game of the season. That showed you what they think they can be. If you add a breakaway-type runner who can all of a sudden get you that 35-yard when the defense is worn down, all of a sudden change the field run in the second half, then it can work. They can get out of the abyss and get to double-digit. Not double-digit wins, but they can get to that 7-9, 8-8 type
range. And then you'll need Bortles to push you over from 7-9, 8-8 to 10 wins, is what you're saying. You'll need him, A-Rob, yeah. Hearns, Marquise, yeah. D. Westbrook, whoever.
I think 10 wins is...
I'm not talking about this year necessarily, but...
Right. Blake, again...
You're saying the running game's a 500 proposition, and it's the quarterback that makes you a playoff team.
I think even a great running game has a tough time being a real playoff team. And by real playoff team, I mean one that once it gets started, you feel like it can compete in there. You got to have a quarterback.
All right. Well, you know, my definition of success in the running game is, can you run when you have to?
Right.
And this team couldn't do it last year. They had, what, 8 games in the fourth quarter where they were tied or had the lead, and they lost them.
And that's, you know, if you think back to last year, last game of the season, everybody criticized Doug Marrone for the run at the end of the game. It forced the field goal, and the Colts came back and won it, if you remember. But he said at the time, he came out in the press conference and from the word go said, hey, that's my philosophy. That's what I do. So that's what he wants to be. He wants to be able to run when the team has to run, and that's his definition as well. So you guys are in lockstep.
So a podcast to me is like, it's not like the Mr. Coffee, right? It's like the Keurig. So you just put the pot in.
Sure.
K-cup, one pot, one cup, right? It works for you?
Yeah.
So here was one cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Not a bad start.
It was good. And
guys with, you know, 50 plus years of covering this team in the NFL in this room, it'll be a fun podcast to do.
Been a long time, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too. John, thanks so much.
All right, buddy.
All right, folks, Senior Moments, the debut this week. Next week, who knows? We'll figure it out. Have a good one.